Okay, we'll call to order the December meeting of the Curie Beach Historic Commission. Hopefully I got that right.
Historic Preservation.
I know. I knew he would yell at me for Historic Preservation Committee or Commission.
Committee.
It says committee, but I thought we were a commission. So. All right, so we got the agenda here. And first item on the agenda is the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Approval of the meeting minutes for November 6th. Is this the one that is incorrect?
No,
P&Z. P&Z, okay. So why don't we just take a second look at that? Is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Public comments.
Seeing no public.
Okay. We should have an agenda item for new members, I think.
Tony, you
were
sworn in?
No.
No.
He was sworn in.
Yeah, that's right. The alternate member is sworn in. So
well,
you are.
Sworn in last time.
Okay.
You're right. You're good.
For the record, why don't you recognize that he has taken the place? And
all right. So for the record, I want to recognize that Tony is now a member of the Historic Preservation Commission and will be seated up here with us. And that we are in the process of determining an alternate member for P&Z, who I assume will also become the alternate member on the Historic Preservation Committee. All right, well, again, great to have you. So, old business. Okay, this is a presentation by the intern, and this is kind of an update, just very quickly as kind of a prelude to this, and the documents are up here. I'll go us get us started on this. If you remember that when we really started this process, we got a template, or not a template, but a model report from the state as to what we should be doing and looking at to be designated a historic district right there. And so this is what is up there right now. It's a report and recommendation for designation of the South South Blount Historic Overlay District. And so this is the model template or the model example that was sent to me that we've been using. And again, Joe has been the primary person doing this. So Joe is kind of wrapping up his internship, hopes to have it wrapped up by February. And so he's at a point where it looks like this is about 90% done right now. And so I thought what we would do is just maybe go through where he's at with his report that he's been working at, see what is still kind of the gaps, and there's only about two pages of where we would have to write, and again, I would kind of recommend I maybe take a first cut at that, and then talk about the process, and I don't know, Joe, if you've done a little bit of research, or maybe the attorney too, but it seems to me that if you look at this report, there's nothing in it about a certificate of appropriateness or the design regulations or anything like that, so it seems to me, and again, hopefully we'll have this kind of worked out tonight, the process may be to get this report, where we're pretty close to it right now, submitted to the state to become designated a historic overlay district. And then what we do is after we're designated that, then we go ahead and get into the details of the certificate of appropriateness and so forth, because there's nothing in this report about that COA process.
Three or four points. COA process is laid out in statute and is partially covered in the rules of procedure.
Okay.
The designation of the district is actually by council.
Right.
Raleigh just reviews your report.
And they give a recommendation.
Right.
Yeah. And that is before the designation by the council, from what I understand. It's sent up to Raleigh
absolutely
first.
Yeah.
Okay.
And after a certain amount of time, if you don't hear, you're free to go.
Okay.
You raised one other point, which I can't recall right.
Well, the other point is that this is just simply to be designated. It has nothing about the architectural requirements or things like that.
Also, this body will have to develop and adopt guidelines, design guidelines. So they're not in the report.
Right, but it seems to me that's after the designation process.
That's correct.
Okay.
Or in step with.
Okay, so we're actually, what I would say, based upon, I think, our discussion tonight and the presentation, we're very close, I think, to being at a point where we may want to talk to, we can wrap this up, I'm guessing, within a month, and then talk to the town council about, because I assume that they would have to formally submit it, whether they want to have a public hearing prior to this, whether we should do the public hearing and so forth. So, but anyway, with that, let me turn it over to Joe. If you want to kind of look and show us what you've done and kind of point out where the final report still needs a little bit of work.
Sure. So, like Dr. Galbraith said, I really modeled, and I explained this to you guys several times before, but I really modeled my report off of the South Pearson, South Blount example. So it formatted, or as far as the format goes, it's very much the same. So that, again, that just recognizes all of the people involved. So a lot of the things that I've highlighted on the screen, it's specific statutes and ordinance, you know, specific to, you know, in this example, Raleigh, the city of Raleigh. So, you know, I didn't really have time to go and formally look through all of the, you know, the book of ordinance and go through and see where specifically, you know, which ordinance pertain to, you know, our report. So, if, you know, if you guys want to do that, or if you want me to kind of look forward or look a little bit more into detail, that I'm more than welcome to do that. If you want to scroll down a little bit.
If I could just make one comment, I don't think you'll find any references to this topic within the code. I think there are just relying on general statutes.
Okay. The next page refers to the 2030 Comprehensive Plan of Significance, and so this was a comprehensive plan that Raleigh put together a few years back. So the town of Curie Beach's comprehensive plan is, you know, a little outdated, and I know you guys are going to be updating that in the future, so maybe we want to strip this out from the report altogether, or maybe we want to use the existing comprehensive plan and kind of pull from it, you know, for some supporting this documentation. But again, that's kind of really up to you. I talked to Dr. Galbraith. He said that he's probably going to tackle that, so I'm sure he's going to kind of lead the conversation about that a little bit later.
Just real quickly, what you've identified in yellow is still what needs to be done in our report.
That
you haven't covered. So this area of tying the historic district with the comprehensive plan is something that I offered to maybe tackle over the next couple of weeks. You know, we're putting together a land use plan committee and stuff like that. So our land use plan is 12 years old. The question is whether we want to talk about a 12-year-old plan here, or as you said, strip it out, or maybe emphasize that this will be incorporated in the existing land, the development of the current land use plan.
One so. Thing to keep in mind is your current OUP wouldn't have any references to historic districts.
Right, right.
But the general goals within that OUP might be articulated in passing.
So that's why I was thinking that if it's okay with the commission here, that what I would do is, based upon, you know, the approval of the commission, is maybe over the next couple of weeks tackle this one or two page, this section that ties it with the land use plan, that I could write that up for approval at our next meeting then.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
Is that going to be an obstacle to get Raleigh to approve
Should
not be. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I don't think you want to reference
a 12-year-old plan.
The plan was good for 25 years.
The plan's good for 25 years?
That was like the original, was a 25-year plan, so we're not like severely out of date or anything on the plan.
Okay, and there's also
only a half-life.
There's also some legislative update, I haven't quite found it yet, that requires new comprehensive plans to be adopted within the next couple of years, so everybody's probably in the same boat.
Okay. So it's a matter of just writing this section so it, you know, it captures the essence that this is consistent with the plan, but recognizing maybe that we're in the process of revising our plan. So, but this is only like one or two pages within the document right here, isn't it?
Yeah,
okay.
It's not anything. I mean, it is significant, but it's not make or break, so to say. So if you want to keep scrolling, let's see, that's the continuation of that. So this just talks about historical significance, maybe some of the or the key kind of phrases that we're going to use throughout the report. And if we scroll down further, this urban design significance, maybe we just want to kind of strip that out altogether, or maybe there's pieces in it that we're going to need to rework. So if you look at number two, it talks about retaining residential character while retaining affordable housing and affordable communities. So maybe we want to rework some of those phrases into the report.
Yeah, he's highlighted in yellow things we need every day.
You can leave the part that's not highlighted in number two.
Agreed.
Yeah, absolutely. So this historic development standards, again, the highlighted portion talks specifically about the city of Raleigh and Coast that they have that mandate what's going on with their development standards. So that's something that we would need to kind of look into and cater to Kerry Beach. And then if we scroll down more, onto the next page, there's this map here that I just pulled. I kind of screenshotted from the zoning map and put a blue kind of square around it. It might be beneficial to kind of get a professional mock-up done of that. I mean, if that is satisfactory for you guys, then by all means use it, but it's not super, super professional. If we keep scrolling, and then this is kind of what I've been working on, so it's the report. It just kind of gives a general history of some of the areas that are included in the B1 district. So for the first little bit, I talked about the significance and the impact of the Civil War in the area and how it contributes to the culture and architecturally, or not architecturally, but archaeologically. If you continue to scroll on, it's just a map. In terms of, again, this is just a draft, so I don't know how or what kind of things are allowed in the proposal as far as maps like this. I've taken this from just a book that I had. So, and of course I cited it, but I'm not sure how well that will vote if we keep that in the report. So that's something that we're gonna have to, I guess, kind of get clarification on. If we continue to scroll, again, this is just kind of talking about the story that goes into kind of the Fort Fisher Railroad Company and the early development of Kerry Beach.
By the way, really quickly, this is, did you have to pull from a lot of different sources for this kind of history of Kerry Beach, or?
Yeah, so my main resource, of course, was the Federal Point History Center up in Carolina Beach. I used a lot of oral histories and then a lot of existing kind of synopsises of the history of Kerry Beach. But in terms of secondary resources, they're really not a lot. So it's just kind of pulling from people who've been living in the area and oral histories and things like that.
Can I make a comment, Chair?
Sure.
You might have it, because I can scroll down the rest of the way, but, and I forget how you reference it. Staff may know, it may be, you may pick it up on any deed for a lot, but there's two very early plats of Kerry Beach that are remarkably accurate with respect to the way the town, and they're by Kerry, private developer, not conventional. Might be a good idea to include a copy of that plat. It's an official reported plat.
Okay.
And it shows the streets and the pier, and it's just all laid out.
Okay, yeah, if you scroll down, I think, after, I did include a map from right there, from 1947, so that might be it there. That is just a picture with my cell phone that I took, because it's a pretty big...
is that the whole town?
So, no, that is page 1 of 2, I believe, so that is the kind of layout of the B1 district, or the B1 district is included in that map. So, again, we would probably want to do that a little bit more professionally. But a lot of the, if you look back at the the South Pierce or the South Pierce and South Blunt. Example they use, they go from Sanborn maps, and Sanborn maps are insurance maps from the day back from the 1860s up until the early 19-teens, but I was unable to find any sort of Sanborn map for Kira Beach. This is actually the earliest map that I found.
You can pick up this map in the other page in the Register of Deeds as a reported indicator as PDF.
Okay, excellent. Perfect, I appreciate that. Okay, so if we keep scrolling there, and then I just included some pictures of you know, some of the earlier examples of the homes, the residential buildings that are in Kira Beach, and then I talk a little bit about the commercial buildings in the Beaumont District. The important thing about the historical report is that in order for there to be, I guess, a reason for historic designation, they want to see examples of buildings that we're willing to preserve. And so that's kind of a tricky thing. When we just have to kind of decide, you know, what buildings are we really, really trying to kind of keep around and keep in the you know, within the district. I know I was talking to Dr. Galbraith, and Bud and Joe's used to be that a military barrack from Fort Fisher. And significantly, I mean, in terms of historical significance, it's quite interesting and it's quite unique to Kira Beach. But if that's not something that the town is willing to like put a stand on and say we want to keep that, I don't know if it's worth putting in the report. So if you kind of see what I'm saying there. So it just kind of depends on, you know, what properties are we going to fight for. And then this last portion of the remaining of the document is just the inventory. And so the inventory uses a lot of architectural jargon, which I do not know. So that is something that I am going to be doing over my Christmas break, is kind of be brushing up on that and making sure that looks good. So this is just a really rough draft. It's not really close to the first draft, but I'm glad I had the opportunity to talk to you guys about it, because I really would appreciate feedback, what needs to stay, what needs to go, areas of improvement, and what that way next time we meet, I can kind of have something that meets your standards.
So. Again, one of the issues that we're trying to push here is the cultural implication of it. Again, when you read the definition, what constitutes the historic district, it's not necessarily historic in the sense of being old. Okay, that there is an opportunity of the importance of a consistent cultural characteristic or feel for a particular community. And I think that's really what we're trying to push here, rather than having, you know, 1,800 houses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we got to make sure that the document captures that component and emphasizes that component versus, you know, we're trying to save this particular house and that particular house.
I understand that. It's just when you look at all of the other examples, they clearly pick houses that have or buildings that have historical significance, and these landmarks within that designation are what really amplify that cultural aspect. And so,
don't you have a map that has the dates on it? I thought you had to put together a map that had the individual dates of when the properties were put together.
Yeah, I do have that. I can include that.
Yeah, I would definitely include that.
Okay.
You know, that there's a map that actually has the dates of all the... And they go back. I mean, the most recent one is still 40, 50 years old. And what's the earliest that we have within the area that we're looking at?
1920, 1921. And then the most recent one is right over by the pavilion, which I think was constructed in like 2018.
So. Right. But, you know, so we have buildings here that go back 100 years almost,
mm-hmm.
you know, within this district.
I don't think that's good, and you can reference that. The point that you made about these other jurisdictions focusing on the historical aspect is because that's the context mm-hmm. for those municipalities that have those districts. We don't have that, so the challenge is to use the criteria in the statute that, and it's, you know, it's a variety, I can't find which statute it is right now,
but it lists several criteria for a historic district, and to me the challenge is to take that criteria, put it in a World War II, post-World War II commercial beachfront district context, and develop your analysis that way. It's not so much focusing on the historical aspect, although the historical aspect does play a role, but it's more like somebody 50 years from now walking into that district and seeing a post-World War II small town, family-oriented, beachfront commercial district. Your job is to figure out what elements make it that.
Okay.
And then that's the analysis you follow in your report. That's my humble comment. I think that's the approach that I would take.
Okay. So we're not going to be designating buildings.
No, those are landmarks. And you could do that, but you're designating a historic district. And you got to remember, historic, it's got a very broad meaning.
That's what I'm getting, yeah. So
from the research that I've done, when you designate in a district, there has to be resources within that district that meet a specific set of criteria, usually based on historical significance, that contribute to the criteria. So though we're not designating specific buildings or landmarks, you absolutely have to use those buildings and landmarks to, as a contributor to the district.
Can you not reference the style of a building or landmark rather than the actual building or landmark? Because I don't think the intent is to keep the B1 in the exact same state forever going forward.
No, but to keep the feel.
To keep cultural aspects or building aspects.
The criteria is historical, prehistorical, architectural, or cultural importance. And possess integrity of design, setting, materials, feeling, and or association. So pretty
broad.
Pretty wishy-washy. Yeah.
So we can call out architectural importance without having to preserve Button Joe's per se.
Right. So what I would suggest and what I recommended while we went through this, if the commission feels comfortable, is that I will get involved in and work with Joe here in over the next month prior to our next meeting to try to fine-tune this and get it into more of a final form type of thing based upon the feedback that I think we're hearing tonight, and then present that to the commission for a decision as to where to go from here, whether we want to send it to the council to forward to the state for review, whether we should have a public hearing related to this, but at least have the document as well as we can get it, given that we understand it's more of a cultural thing that we're trying to capture in terms of the downtown area.
The architectural component, are we going to try to do that, or are we going to try to get some expertise to do that?
That would, we would have to, it sounds like we have to be designated first. And then we can decide, all right, well, how are we going to preserve this? What are going to be the guidelines associated with the certificate of appropriateness? We could try to do it. I mean, we're all volunteers here, obviously. So we may need to...
knowledge levels a little different.
Right.
The criteria is disjunctive, not conjunctive. It's or, it's not and.
Yeah, okay.
So it doesn't even have to be architectural. It could be feeling and association by itself.
All right. As long as we don't lock ourselves into anything when we do the designation.
No, and I think the designation allows us to do certain things, okay, that we can't do without the designation. Once we're designated, then the question is, what is it that we're trying to preserve, and how are we going to preserve it through the guidelines that need to be developed after we're designated, this sort of thing. The council made it clear that they don't want to make it onerous, which is understandable. They don't want to make it onerous to the business community, but the major concern is right now there's no way you can prevent somebody from knocking down the downtown area and putting up McDonald's.
Yeah, that is.
Know? And so we need to have guidelines to protect that sort of thing.
I mean, that was one of the criteria I heard, is that these businesses change over from elderly to young, that they just didn't want to say, okay, tear them all down and build houses.
Right.
In the business.
Area. Well, yeah, they could also do that. They could tear them down, tear down the hotels and
build condos. That's what I thought. What we're trying to do is say, no, let's preserve the motel type.
Yeah, the feel of that.
The feel of that. So that could be accomplished under this?
Again, I think it's important to keep in mind that this is simply a report that allows you to go forward and
don't get too deep
make a designation. This does not control what you do. It sets up the context. The more important document, the more difficult task, the more detailed instrument will be the design guidelines. You're not setting yourself in stone here. You're just making a report.
Yeah, we're just being designated so we can do this, so we can develop guidelines.
Okay, all right.
So, because I know the commission was anxious to have this done by the end of the year, so that's what we're targeting here. So what I would recommend is that Joe and I work over the holidays before our next meeting and have a document that we think is ready to submit to the state for review. And then we can decide, we can tweak it. And then we can decide, how we want to submit it to the council. I'll try to get feedback from the council as to whether they want us to have public hearing. I'm guessing that they probably do want at least one public hearing related to this, that we can say that we had a public hearing when we put it in the document and that sort of thing. So, but I'll present it to the council, next week I think the council's meeting, and get their feedback on that. So
the last thing I want to talk about, and this might answer some of your questions, I located a handbook for historic preservation commissions on the state website, so if you want to click on that link. So that goes through, I think it's like 103 pages, and so definitely.
Oh my goodness.
I don't have to read the whole thing.
It's a test on it.
Is that purchasable from the SO School of Government?
I'm not sure. I know it's, I guess, a little outdated. It was, I think, copyrighted in 1994. But I mean, the principle still holds true. But it lists out in multiple in different chapters exactly what what are best practices for the historic commission. How do you establish over the district and the COA process and the guidelines in terms of the design guidelines and things like that. It's all in there. So if you literally just Google North Carolina Historic Commission guidelines or something like that.
Could you send a link to it to the commission here?
Okay. So, it's all in there, and it's pretty good information. Chapter 7, or it's either Chapter 6 or Chapter 7, that talks specifically about historic designation. So in the process of historic designation, so maybe if you guys are looking at that, it will answer some of your questions.
Okay, so if it's okay with the commission, we'll try to have a more final document for the commission to review at our next meeting. Also have feedback from the town council as to what they want us to do prior to this being submitted to the state for review and hopefully approval. Is that okay?
When is the council meeting in January? Do we know yet? They changed that, right?
They haven't rescheduled it, but we'll reschedule it on Monday.
One thing about the public hearings, not required of this body, although I understand council may in this body may want it. Also not required before council sends the report to the state. Mm. It is required as part of the designation process, which it happens after the report is sent to the state and comments are received back.
So we could send the report up and have it reviewed by the state, but the actual, and then get that information back. But when the city then, based upon that review by the state, they designate us as a historic district they have to have a public hearing related to that. Okay. Yeah, because it is a zoning issue. So.
That's
okay.
Right.
Council, you said that it's also, we may not get a positive feedback if we don't hear back in so many days. It's automatic. You know, is that 60?
It's 30.
30? Okay.
But I suspect we'll get the comments.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, certainly when I talked to the director up there, she was excited, said she would help us as much as she wanted, as much as we wanted. I mean, that's their job, is to do the sort of things that we're trying to do here, and they're very interested in, you know, preserving the type of areas that we're talking about, historic districts and cultural districts.
We know now that 30 days is the outset, so
right,
we can plan
right.
on the plan.
But
before that.
But the city, the town, the council would have to be the one to submit it. I mean, we can't go bypass the council. The council would have to review it and formally submit it. So. Okay. Is there anything else from the? Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Okay. Next item is new business: rescheduling of the January 1st, 2020 meeting. I think there was strong interest in rescheduling the January 1st meeting.
Either that, have it at midnight. That day.
So,
we'll roll in about 12:30 a.m.
Is there?
There you go.
And I'm sure it'll be the same discussion in P&Z. It's going to be the same agenda item, so we might as well have the discussion here.
My preference would be to move it to the 2nd. Moving to the 8th may mean that I can't attend.
Right. I can do the 2nd. I will be out of town from the 4th to the 9th.
Beth is also out on the 2nd.
Pardon?
What's on the 2nd?
Beth is out on the 2nd.
Oh, Beth is out on the 2nd.
And is anybody traveling that's,
I'm probably
the 2nd's a little quick to, right after the holidays.
Yeah, you got to give people travel time.
I mean, we can certainly put it into the 3rd week. I mean, we have a flexibility.
You said the 8th was not good for you.
The 8th isn't going to work.
No, but you're going to be, the 9th doesn't.
Well, I'm flying back on the 9th.
I was going to say, that's going to be.
Yeah, so it's the 10th would be the earliest I could do it.
Is the 14th good? That's the week before the council meeting.
14th, good with me.
14th is good with me.
14th.
You want to do it? Okay.
Good for me.
That's fine.
Okay, that way, if you think we need to give the council, because we're a little later than that month, the 21st, so it gives the 20th, so that gives us plenty of time.
Okay.
14th is good for me.
Council will have to reschedule. That's part of the thing, because we'll be closed. So we'll have to reschedule up to the 20th.
I think we're going to do the 21st.
I just want to make sure.
Okay. So I'll make a motion to reschedule our Historic Preservation Commission for January to January 14th at 6 o'clock.
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any member items? All right. Very good. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Very good.
We are done.